This business podcast is brought to you by Gap Property Investments, making your money work harder for you. Hi guys, and welcome to episode 9 of the Breadwinners podcast. I'm your host, Pori Kilfordy. This business podcast looks into the lives of current entrepreneurs and business owners on how they've navigated their way to being the best they can be and what makes them tick. I look into their highs, their lows of their journey, and what helpful tips they can give. This week on the Breadwinners podcast is Brona Lyons, who has over 10 years coaching experience and is an inner leadership and energy coach, as well as all things wealth creation. Brona is a regular contributor in local newspapers here in Ireland and is also a best-selling author and is launching her second book later this year. Let's get into episode 9 of the Breadwinners podcast.
How are your bank holiday weekend to have a chat with us?
I'm so excited to be here, Pork, and thank you so much for making space in your busy schedule for this interview as well, especially on a bank holiday Sunday.
Well, we've got to do, Brona. But come here, it's everyone's talking about the adaptability now to the coronavirus that hit us all. But you have an interesting story. We'll get into the business side, but first of all, you were originally living in China, but you found yourself back in beautiful Dublin.
I was. My husband and I were actually living in China for 2 years. So both of us have a huge passion when it comes to traveling the world, exploring, seeing different cultures, meeting different people. So we kind of moved over to China. He was working. I have an online business. So we used China as a launching pad to go explore Asia, to see lots of different things, had an absolutely incredible time. And we came home to Ireland for 10 days in January for Chinese New Year, because China shuts down for Chinese New Year. We came home and we just couldn't leave. So we've been here ever since. So we had to leave our apartment, all our belongings, everything over in China. And we've been living off a suitcase since. But hopefully our boxes are arriving next week. So we had to have like friends going and packing up all our stuff and get them organized to come home and stuff. So we're excited to get all of our belongings back. But yeah, we've been literally in Ireland adapting and changing and pivoting for the last 5 months. It's been amazing though.
And that, you've been able to adapt your business to that, because we're going to get into your business now. Tell us what you do, but fortunately enough, it is an online business, so you're able to adapt pretty quickly.
Yeah, and that's by design as well. So as I said, Carol and I love traveling. So we wanted to make sure that whatever business we have is location independent. So that was really important to us. And we also are very involved and very interested in leveraged systemized businesses as well. So actually, when we came home in January, the plan was to launch a new business, which we did, not knowing we'd be staying here. But we launched a new business called Epic Hearts Club while we're home, which is a low cost online like membership platform with multiple coaches in it. So we launched that when we were home, which was amazing. But even while we were in China, it was very interesting actually. When we were in China, obviously a lot of people know that Chinese have a big ban on different social medias, on different internet. Your internet access is just reduced highly over in China. So we had to pivot and change and adapt a lot while we were over there. And then we came home and it was just the freedom that you had online and your internet access and everything was just such a massive win as well. So we definitely embraced all of that. And, you know, I've been doing live videos every day. We're actually launching multiple new businesses now. It's just been incredible coming home as well and just changing things up and being able to create that online community. Obviously, globally now, having an online business is amazing because it's just people globally that are at home, locked in, quarantined, looking for that sense of community, looking for that sense of stability and focus and structure. So to be able to create that while being home myself has just been absolutely amazing. So yeah, it's been amazing being home and just adapting and changing.
Adapting and changing, and you've done it in style. Just looking at your some of your groups that you've set up, you're up into the thousands now, which is great. I'm going to take you back to your very first, suppose your first love, as we call it. You have, suppose, been studying various different practices over the years. Maybe we'll talk more about that and tell us a wee bit about that story, first of all.
Yeah, so I so my first love, I suppose, was in psychology, and it's what I actually studied in university was psychology. So when I was younger, I had a lot of mental health issues, depression, social anxiety, all that sort of stuff. So that kind of focused my energy and attention towards mental health and psychology and human behavior. So that's what I went on to study while I was in university, with the idea that I'd become a counseling psychologist at the end of it. However, while I was there, I fell in love with fitness, with health, how diet and exercise can affect your mental health as well. I learned a lot about positive psychology, and I pivoted away from kind of counseling psychology, which is very much about like problem focused, to more solution focused. So I went into kind of like the health industry and all that sort of stuff relating to psychology. But while I was there, you know, I kind of fell into business. I always thought business was for other people. It wasn't for me. I had a very negative money mindset, very toxic relationship with money and wealth. I just didn't understand it at all. I became a self-employed personal trainer, which did not work out well at all. My first introduction to entrepreneurship. And then I actually fell into a role as a PA to a CEO of a cybersecurity company. And within a year and a half, I became director of operations for that that company. And I just learned so much about business, about wealth. I started reading a lot of books. I started educating myself a lot on financial education, on money, on wealth, on strategy. And then being in that role as well, it was like the best introduction to business and strategy and money, and everything just evolved from there. So I've linked up my love of humans and psychology and human behavior with my newfound love of wealth and wealth creation and money and strategy and systems, and it's just been absolutely amazing. So that's what I do now, is everything that I've learned up till now from my life experience and also from all my studies has accumulated to what it is that I do now. So it's a great mix match. It's like a dichotomy. It's amazing.
So tell me about I noted your first business, the fitness business, it failed, unfortunately.
Yeah.
What were you going through then?
I think the reason that failed was because there's a saying out there that says follow your passion. And I would argue that you should not follow your passion. I think there's passion and there's purpose. So passion is what you do for yourself. It's the things that you really enjoy, that you absolutely love. And then there's your purpose, which is how you serve others and what it is that you bring to the world in that sense. So I would always say follow your purpose rather than your passion. I think your passion is for you, and it's for a way for you to be able to like really enjoy your life as well, which is so important to have your own life experience. So what happened with me was, while I was in university, I fell in love with fitness, I fell in love with exercise, I fell in love with health and how I was treating myself. I followed my passion and I just burnt out very quickly because I had no experience when it came to business. I had a very toxic relationship with all of that. And then physically as well, I just started burning out. I wasn't treating myself well at all while I was working in a gym, and I just wasn't a good time. So Robert Kiyosaki, actually, which is the link of how we met, we have an online free Robert Kiyosaki community. And when I read his book, Rich Dad Poor Dad, that opened my eyes up to so much. But he often says, don't do what you love, invest in what you love. And it's that same kind of meaning and understanding of, you know, you could do what you love, but you're just going to be an employee, or you're just going to go around in circles, whereas you can invest in what you love. You can still be putting so much into it, getting so much out of it, but you still have that other side of you as well, that other part of you that is just enjoying your life as well. So that's what I learned from that experience. And it was such a great learning as well. So I'm so grateful for that.
And I doubt it was a great learning at the time. You know, it was a reality check for you. And I know by the work that you do you find that you get a lot of people reaching out to you with that reality check that they're just after getting, suppose, maybe something that didn't work out? Might not be a business, it might be something personal, you know. Is that a challenge you come across with what you do?
I think that the biggest challenge that I come across and what I identify in people is, when we're children, we have all these dreams and aspirations. Our purpose and our passion is coming true very, very strongly from when we're children. And then what happens is we go into school, and I'm not anti-education, I'm very pro-education. But what happens is we go into school, we go into like work environments, peer groups, depending on what country you're in, the culture, the society, all that sort of stuff. And we are programmed and we're conditioned to be taken off our path, unless we have naturally a very traditional kind of like purpose in life, where we're often taken off our path. So what happens is, at some point in people's lives, whether it's in their 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, you wake up and you're like, how did I even get here? I don't even like myself. I don't even know who I am anymore. I don't know who these people are. I hate my job. I hate, you know, all this sort of stuff. And we kind of just wake up and be like, how did this even happen? This wasn't the life that I wanted. This isn't the life that I deserved. So that's often what I find is, we're bit by bit taking off our path. We bit by bit lose ourselves, forget who we are, what it is that we're actually here to do. We lose sight of what that purpose is, which is what I spoke about. And, you know, we're just completely lost. And that's where I find a lot of people are, is, you know, they have, they're just disillusioned with how things are, and they don't even know, people can't make decisions. They have no confidence or self-esteem because they don't know what they believe in. They don't know what they think anymore. And I honestly feel that that's what I find a lot. That's what I get told a lot from my clients, is that, you know, they just don't know where they are anymore. They don't have a leg to stand on because they don't know what they believe in, really.
Is that common with comparables? I know we're getting away from the business aspect. Is that common from comparables to different elements in life that they come across, and that they might see, and, oh, I need that there to be happy, or I need this here to be happy. And obviously that's going to come into business as well. If they're in business, if their outer world and inner world aren't connected, they're in trouble. Is that something that you see a lot more of, as comparables, people trying to compare themselves to other people? And that's where a lot of the anxiety and those other toxic elements come from.
Absolutely. And we're programmed and conditioned to compare ourselves. If you look at the schooling system, you know, it's a bell curve, right? So like everything is relative. Everything is relative. So, you know, with the bell curve in the grading system, and you have a class of students, and regardless of if they're like really high level students or they're not, you know, only a certain percentage of them can have the highest marks. Only a certain percentage can have the lowest marks, and then the rest are in average marks, right? So, you know, you could have like a whole class full of like really high grading students, but it still has to fall under the bell curve, so they all get graded more difficultly, right? So even that in itself is like we're being compared to each other without even realizing that we are. Then you look at you know, people in their home lives. Maybe they're in school and they come home and they're saying like, oh hey, I got like 70% in a test. It's like, okay, well, why didn't you get 90%, or why didn't you get 100%? So we're conditioned and trained to compare ourselves to others. And then also in the schooling system, you know, we're taught that if you're asking someone for help, that you're cheating as opposed to collaborating. So, you know, it's a constant like chipping away again of being like, oh no, you're on your own, you need to figure it out, you need to know. And we're taught to fear failure. You know, you put your hand up, the teacher asks a question, you put your hand up, you answer it, you get the question wrong, and all your peers start laughing at you. You just feel stupid, right? So, you know, we get conditioned very quickly that, you know, we have to be anxious and fearful of failure, because otherwise we're going to get ridiculed. And this comes from, you know, back in the day when we're tribal people, right? So we belong to a tribe, and everyone in the tribe has their own role in the tribe. Right. So we have a particular role, you have a particular role, everyone has their own role. If you get excommunicated from that tribe, you would literally not survive outside of that tribe. So there could be like dangerous animals that are going to come at you, or there could be lots of different things that could happen. So we as human beings have evolved in that sense, but our DNA and our primitive brain has not. So what happens is, we still have this fear of not belonging, of being excommunicated, of being rejected. So when we pair that with that feeling of failure, that makes us go into a really safe space where we don't try anything, we don't go outside the status quo, we don't follow our purpose or our passion, because we're so afraid that, you know, we'll fail and that we'll be rejected. So this whole conditioning of, you know, comparing ourselves is very real, and it's deliberate, and it happens all the time. It happens to everyone every single day.
Really insightful from you, Brona. But let's touch on your businesses now.
Yeah.
We kind of skaved over them very quickly at the start of the interview, but talk to us about your online coaching. I know it's your business that you take with you, which is great. And obviously, we're seeing that trend now. A lot of people are starting to go oh my God, I'm going to have to try and do something here. I can't go to the office. So over the last 8 weeks or so, there've been some amount of movement to online, and maybe from a lot of the people I talk to, the aspect of doing an online business has become a reality, and they're going to stick to it. But you've been probably pioneering this for a while. Maybe tell us about your first venture and how's it going?
Yeah, so what I'm doing at the moment is it's all online coaching. But what I would say to people is, and we can talk more about my business, but what I would really say to people is if they are interested in going into business, there's a lot that you can go into, okay? So the first thing I would say is there is business, but there's also three other asset classes as well. And business is not for everyone. And actually, Robert Kiyosaki would say business is the most difficult asset class to build. But just so people know, if they're listening to this and they're like, oh, I don't know if I really want to get into business, maybe I do, maybe I don't. The first thing would be education, obviously. You know, there's so much free education out there that you can get, like online, you can get books, you can attend seminars, you can do all this sort of stuff. There's so much free education out there, firstly. Secondly, it would be, okay, what kind of way do I want to create wealth, which is really what it's all about, whether it's business or it's some other way, it's a way of creating wealth. So there's four different asset classes. The first one is paper assets, and this is the most popular one. So paper assets would be all things stocks, bonds, mutual funds, even cryptocurrencies, bitcoins, forex, all of that would fall under paper assets. I personally have no interest in paper assets, so I'm not the person to talk about that too. But even your pensions goes into paper assets, right? So all of that is paper assets. Then there's commodities. So that's all things that you can hold. So there's five different types of paper commodities. There's gold. There's like the 5Gs. So gold. So that's all things precious metals, gold, silver, all that sort of stuff. There's grub, which is food. So that would be all things like it could be like an avocado farm, it could be like water, it could be anything to do with like food. Then you have ground, which is land, obviously, guns, which is like ammunition, military, and then there's also gas, which is energy. So that could be renewable energy, oil, petrol, whatever. So there's five different types of commodities. So we actually use, personally, we use commodities for like an emergency fund. So we don't save money. What we do is we have our wealth in commodities. So that's what we use commodities for, but some people use it for creating wealth. Then there's also real estate, and then there's also business. So there's lots of different ways that you can go down this, but if you do want to go into business, what I would say is the most important thing is to, especially now if it's something you're considering, is education, obviously, but then also looking into how to create the best business for you that can be leveraged, which is the most important thing. Robert Kiyosaki has this quadrant called the ESBI quadrant, and there's two of them for business. So there's the S and the B. So E stands for employee, S stands for self-employed, B stands for business, big business, and then I stands for investor. So self-employed and big business are the two for business. Self-employed is actually where most people go when they go into business. That's what I did with my personal training business. And the self-employed, Robert Kiyosaki also says, is the most difficult one. So not only are you going into the most difficult asset class, you're also going into the most difficult form of that asset class.
And Bruna, and that's a trend we see, I suppose, all over the world, but specifically in Ireland, you know, it's very self-employed. If I can do it, or if I can't do it, no one else can. We've all fallen into that trap, let's be honest. But moving on to how do you get over that? How would you get over that?
Yeah, so the first thing is you have to think, what is the end result? Are you looking to feed your ego? Or are you looking to create wealth and another stream of income? So you have to think about that. Secondly, it's about, you have to think, is it about you or is it about the business? So you have to separate the two entities, right? Are you the business or is the business a separate entity to you? And there's a fantastic book called The E-Myth Revisited. It's a fantastic book and it's all about creating systems. And what that book talks about is if you take the McDonald's system, right? So the McDonald's model. So no matter what your business is, if you have like a bakery or you're whatever your business is, okay, it could be absolutely anything. Think about it as if you're creating a McDonald's. You're going to create a whole manual for your McDonald's that if you That if someone came across and wanted to buy your business, that you could literally hand them over a whole manual and they would know step by step what to do. That's what you want to start thinking about in terms of your business, whether you're self-employed or not. So you want to start thinking of it, read that book, but also start thinking of it like, okay, if someone came to me tomorrow in the business that I have or in the business that I want to create and they wanted to buy my business, but they didn't want me involved in it, could they do that? And that's a fantastic mindset to get into when you're starting a business, because of course at the very beginning you're probably going to start off self-employed because you're the one bringing whatever you're bringing to it, right? And then you're going to start building your team. But you want to have the mindset of a big business at the very start. So you want to start thinking like, okay, you know, what systems can I put in place here? What manuals can I put in place here? What are the different roles in my business? Even if you are all the roles, you want to start separating the organizational structure of the business. You want to start writing like job descriptions for all the different roles in your business. And then slowly what you're going to be able to do once you have the organizational chart, you have the job descriptions of all the different roles in the business, you create manuals and training manuals for all the different roles, then you can start bringing teams in. And it's so easy. It's just clockwork until you have all the different systems filled in. You have your team there for all of them and it's completely systemized. What you're always looking for with business is you want it to be completely leveraged. A business should not be, and this is what self-employed businesses are, a business should not be another job that actually owns you. What happens is when you're self-employed, when you have a job, okay, when you're an employee, and you have a job, you've got like sick leave, probably you've got vacation days, regardless of whether the business is doing well or not, you get paid at the end of the week or at the end of the month. When you're self-employed, even if you have a couple of team members, if those team members don't show up, who needs to fit the bill? You do. If the business is not successful, you don't get paid, but you still have to pay your team, right? Or you still have to pay your own bills. So you really want to start being thinking like, okay, how can I make this completely successful without me, that I'm not going to be in it? And that's what people need to start thinking when it comes to business. It's not about you. It's not about investing or doing what you love. It's about investing in what you love. If you're like a really creative person and you love to paint glass jars, for instance, and that's your business, and you sell these glass jars that you create, it's the exact same thing there. You want to start thinking, okay, how can I train people to paint the glass jars in the way that I do it, so I can actually step back and the business can be a fully functioning entity without me? So that's what I would say to anyone if they want to get into business, is how can I create a fully systemized, completely leveraged business that if tomorrow, not that you have to sell your business, you don't, but if tomorrow, hypothetically, someone came to me and wanted to buy my business but didn't want me in it, would they be able to do that? And that's what you want to be aiming for.
Just an absolute, I was laughing during it. I was going, there's just so much information coming out of you there, Rona. I'm sorry if you looked at me, for our listeners, I was laughing in the background going, there's just a full business there in about 25 seconds of talk from you, Rona. So much insightful stuff, you know. And obviously you've studied and really, really worked hard on this. But take me back to the Rona that maybe didn't know all this.
Yeah.
Take me back to her. Who is she?
Yeah, so when I was a little girl, I suppose if you take back to, I think backstories are always good, and it is for me because I'm interested in people, I'm interested in psychology and human behavior. So if you go back to my childhood, my dad was very traditional. He had like his career in the ESB, and he retired when I was 10 years old, so I was living off a pension. He was always very responsible with money. My mom kind of grew up in rural Ireland in the 50s where there was a lot of poverty, there wasn't a lot. So my mom had this thing where she wanted a lot. So she had no problem spending, she had no problem eating out and doing all this sort of stuff, but the money wasn't there. So there was always on my mom's side a lot of bad debt, right? And there's a difference between good debt and bad debt. We can talk about later if you want, but there was a lot of bad debt growing up in my family as well. And my dad was always the real conservative, kind of traditional, hardworking. So I was looking at my parents and I kind of was terrified of debt. I never wanted to be in debt. I was an extremely hard worker. I always had multiple part-time jobs as a teenager and all the way through university. In university, I'd have like 3 or 4 part-time jobs on top of full-time study. So I was always just really kind of like traditional, like work hard. If you want anything, you have to do it yourself. And, you know, growing up around, but basically, you know, just above the poverty line without being too bad about it. But like my relationship with money was toxic. It was non-existent. And I was always pro people. And I thought that if you're pro people, that means you're anti money. And, you know, I just never understood it. So what happened to me was, I was like this for years. And then because of my personal life, certain things happened and I ended up joining a network marketing company. I'm not actively building a network marketing company now. However, I'm still the customer of that network marketing company because I just love them and what they've done for me. But I joined that and the person, like my upline, said to me one day, because I was just kind of rebellious. I was like, I don't care about the business. I just want to do all these fun things, meet all these people. And he said to me, I was like, okay, Bronis, you want to help a lot of people, right? And I was like, yeah, that's exactly what I do. Like, I want to go help people in Africa and the Amazon and all this sort of stuff. And he's like, okay, well, with your income right now and with the money that you have right now, how many people can you help? And I was like, real indignant. I was like, well, I can help people emotionally and stuff. And he was like, okay, but imagine you had like thousands of euro of passive income coming in every single month and you had status and you had credibility and you had all of this power in the sense of like your voice, you know, you had a platform, how many people could you help then? And I was like, whoa, like that's a life changer, right? So that was huge for me. From that network marketing company, I was introduced to Robert Kiyosaki, I read Rich Dad Poor Dad, like everything just started changing for me. So I really started to learn to question my beliefs, my political beliefs, my, you know, economical beliefs, to start my relationship with money, like what my beliefs around money was. Like, I didn't think that investing was something that, it was just something I didn't even think about. It was like, that was just a different world for different people. And it wasn't for people like me. My role was to study hard, to get good job, good paying job. And just everything was hard work, which is the complete opposite of what I'm about now. Right now, I'm about leveraging it all out, getting it all in passively, enjoying your life, following your passions for, like, you know, really enjoying life, but not in a business sense, but you know, and just having like the best, most enjoyable life that you can have now and the most abundant life that you can have now. Whereas before, it was all about like hard work and everything was hard and, you know, money was scarce and, you know, everything was just really, really difficult. So that's really where I was at there. And I just didn't have any respect for money. And personally, I didn't have any respect for myself. And I found that the more that I've started to respect money, I've also started to respect myself. And I think that people that are maybe a bit more emotional, you know, have this, as I said, this disconnect that like money and people are on the different ends of the scale. But actually, I found that the more that I've improved my relationship with money, the more my relationship with myself and other people has helped as well. I know that I'm serving so much more people now than I ever could have before, and that my own self-worth has just increased so much.
And is that a motivator for you? You know, when you look at money and you look at aspirations, does money just go, yeah, if I look after that, everything else will look after itself? And people judging you by that, is that something that you had to deal with before, or even
I think definitely along the journey there is a lot of judgment, because, you know, I had my beliefs and obviously I surrounded myself with people that had the same beliefs, and, you know, it all happened very, very fast. So that time that I was working for that corporate job and I was literally touching shoulders with like CEOs of pharmaceutical companies, airlines, like banks, like it was insane to go, like, someone that just had such a bad view on all this sort of stuff, I was suddenly in that world and it was a whirlwind. And at the exact same time, I was starting off the network marketing company and I was learning all this sort of stuff and my mind was just exploding. So it all happened very, very fast. And what happened was, a lot of people that I would associate with or spent a lot of time with, they just seen so much change in me so fast, and they attributed that to the network marketing company. But it was just real exponential growth within myself, and, you know, my beliefs just changed so much. So like, there just wasn't a connection there. There was a disconnect with, you know, the old Brona and who I was becoming, which was the best version of myself. So at the start, there was a lot of judgment, and that was something as a chronic people pleaser I had to deal with. You know, it was just something that, you know, the old Brona, who was so dependent on other people and just didn't have a lot of self-worth, could never have done that. But really what I started to do was just face my fears, face that fear of rejection, face that fear of failure, face that fear of looking stupid, which was something that was huge for me. I didn't want people to think I was stupid, which is one of the motivators for me to achieve so much, actually, because I wanted to prove that I wasn't stupid, even though no one ever said I was. But that was just internally within myself, you know. So there was definitely at that time, I think that, you know, it's kind of come full circle now, like, especially in the last 5 years or 6 years of all this exponential growth happening. I've become a lot more at peace with it all. And because of that, my energy is a lot more zen and calm. And therefore, it's not a threat, or it's not, you know, it's not creating that disconnect for people watching me. Like still the people that would have been friends with me back then, you know, they've kind of gone their other way, but there's so many more people coming in now that are maybe looking at me and being like, wow, like, you know, you just have your stuff all together. But that comes after years of it being a bit manic and me just learning so much, being like, oh my god, you'll never guess what this, like, there's this thing called passive income, you know. Yeah. And oh my god, and everyone's been like, you're in a cult and all this sort of stuff, and I was like, no, like, it's just literally a case. I was just learning so much. Robert Kiyosaki talks about a coin, right, and seeing the other side of the coin. So he says that there's three sides on the coin. There's the heads, the tails, and then there's the ridge. So he says most of the time, regardless, like, depending on where we grow up and the different you know, influences that we have in our lives, we generally just see one side of the coin. So he always talks about, like, it's not about which side of the coin is correct. It's about actually sitting on the edge and having one leg on either side. So I know personally that I know from my own life experience growing up, I've seen what it's like to have that mindset of, like, work hard, get a good education, get a good job. You know, everything's difficult. There's a lot of scarcity in the world. You know, all these rich people are bad and greedy. You know, money doesn't grow on trees. It's not that easy for everyone. You know, all this, I see that. I've lived through that. And I also now see, you know, how easy life can be, and how amazing life can be, and how abundant life can be, and how really, honestly, you know, anything is possible. And the easier you make it, the less complicated and the more simple you make it, like, the better it is. Like, we overcomplicate things so much. And I think that right now I don't have anyone kind of at me or anything that I know of, not to my face. But I know in the past there definitely was, because there was just such exponential growth in such a short period of time. So there was a lot of disconnect there at one point, yeah.
There's obviously someone in the background helping you as well. Suppose if I didn't bring him up,
he'd be very insulted, poor.
He'd be very insulted, and we have been. Suppose Carol has been a big influence in your life, and maybe tell us about Carol. How did you meet him, and who is Carol for our listeners, first of all?
Carl is my darling husband, my whirlwind romance. So how did I meet him? I actually met him on Plenty of Fish.
that's a new one for the Breadwinners podcast. Let's go with it.
So I had actually already began my journey of self-development, my journey of learning about wealth creation and business. I was already well into that journey at the time, and I started doing a lot of work on myself. And, you know, being 100% okay with myself, by myself. And for the first time, I realized that I don't need someone else beside me, that I'm 100% whole by myself. So I went through a period of time 4 years ago when I deleted all my social media. I just wanted space from everything. I just wanted to be by myself. But I missed the scrolling at nighttime. So I set up a Plenty of Fish account. I only had one picture on it, didn't fill in anything on the bio. I wasn't there to meet anyone. I was just there to scroll and waste time. And then this guy just kept messaging me and asking me, did I have a Facebook, which I didn't at the time. But I was like, right, I'll reinstate my Facebook so you can see I'm a real person. And I honestly wasn't interested, because I was just like doing my own thing at that time. I had so much I was focusing on. So we were texting for ages. And then just by chance, because he just kept asking me, I said, okay, I'll meet up with you. But I had no expectations of anything at all. And then it was like, literally, like, I seen him and it was just love at first sight. I was just like, who are you? It's crazy. So we got together, and then within 2 months of being boyfriend and girlfriend, we were engaged. 10 months later, on our 1 year anniversary of being boyfriend and girlfriend, we were married. We've been married for 3 years now. I was actually the one that introduced him to personal development and to money mindset stuff. At the very beginning, before we were even boyfriend and girlfriend, I told him to read two books, which I recommend to everyone to read. They're kind of my two go-to books. The first one is Rich Dad Poor Dad by Robert Kiyosaki, and the other is How to Win Friends and Influence People, which is really good in terms of personal development. And I just absolutely love that book. So I told Carol to read those. I suppose in a way it was kind of like a test to see how he reacted to the books. he loved them. He had the same reaction.
I'm just going to clarify something here. Yeah. If he didn't go for the books, he was gone. Is that what you're telling?
Gone. Couldn't deal with that negativity in my life. I don't know. Like, it's just kind of happened. And then Carl, for him, like, you know, he always had this thing about money as well, that money was scarce. So I think for him, he kind of latched on to the money side of things. I was always more kind of on the self-development side of things, but also, as you can probably hear, I'm very passionate about business and money as well. But he really latched on to that. So that was the thing for him, was all about like wealth creation and stuff. And it's just been absolutely incredible since. And I think that that's why our relationship has flourished so well, because the two of us have just been partners in growth and just an expansion and just in growing. Like, the person I was when I first met Carl 4 years ago is drastically different to the person I am now. The person I am now is drastically different to the person I was 2 weeks ago. Like, the two of us are just constantly growing, and we allow that space for each other to grow as well, which I just think is so important. So yeah, I do think, like, you know, if there's people listening to this and they're by themselves, like, that's absolutely great. You know, you definitely don't need anybody to help you along the path. Like, you're 100% by yourself. If you're in a relationship and it's not, it doesn't have that space for growth, that's still okay. Like, you're not dependent on anyone. Like, I always say, relationships, it's not about being 50-50, it's about being 100-100. So you're about 100% together, as opposed to 50-50. Like, a person doesn't fill that void for you. You need to fill that for yourself. So even if you're in a relationship and you want to go off and do something, like, you can still do that within yourself. You just need to be that bit stronger, because obviously you're listening to their energy and stuff like that, and you're listening to their words and what they're doing. But, you know, life is for living now. Like, we're really not guaranteed anything. So that's what I would say. And, like, we're just so supportive of each other.
So, Brona, I suppose this is every other partner's question. Maybe a partner might be into motivation, money mindset, different elements like that, growing themselves, and another partner might not just really be on the same page. So what little tips would you give to our listeners who are sitting there procrastinating at home about doing maybe a course, maybe not to do anything to do with money, maybe to do with psychology, maybe, you know, something to do with their inner self? What could you do? What strategies could you do? Because I know this is your field and you'd be able to give us good advice on it as well. What would you advise to go about it? How would you do that?
Yeah, well, there's so many different variables there, like, so many different variables. So, like, it's kind of hard to give, like, specific answers to such a general question. But, like, in general, you know, if you're completely just starting out and, like, you know, maybe it's the self-development, like, you just want to feel better, you just want to enjoy life a bit more, like, the first thing I would do, and maybe you don't know how your partner would react, the first thing to do is to really, you know, I use this tool with everyone. I'm always talking about it. It's just journaling. Get a journal and just brain dump on it. What happens is, if we have so many thoughts and feelings, especially if we're not able to use our partner as a sounding board, you know, they kind of just magnify in our head, and they just got so much bigger and bigger. And that causes a lot of procrastination and brain fog, I call it, because, you know, it's very hard to get clarity when there's so much going on in your head. So if you can, and I recommend everybody does this, to get a journal and just brain dump. It doesn't have to make sense. It doesn't have to be grammatically correct. It doesn't have to have spellings. It doesn't have to be one language. If you're bilingual, just get it all down. It doesn't have to be deep. It could be, like, super superficial, like, hey, today is Sunday. It's a bank holiday Sunday. You know, this is what I had for breakfast. This is what I'm going to have for lunch. It's more just getting into the practice of writing it down. And then what I've found with my clients is they start off and it's really superficial and strange if they've never done it before. Then it starts getting a bit deeper, where they start, like, you know, if something upsets them or whatever, they start using their journal to, like, offload all of that. And then once they start getting through all the brain fog, what happens is, when you journal, you start getting creative and you start getting clarity, and ideas start coming to you, and you start connecting into that person, like, which is a great, like, closing loop for what we spoke about at the start of this interview. You know, you start finding out who you are and what it is that you want, and you can call it your intuition or your gut or internal nudges or whatever it is. Like, you know, you start thinking of all these ideas. You're like, oh yeah, maybe I should contact this person. Maybe I should do this. Maybe I should do that. So that would always be, like, the first step I would say for everyone is to do that. If you're in a situation that you're really clear on what it is that you want to do, and maybe your partner is not supportive, the first thing is, like, if it's safe to do so and you'd be confident to do so, you can have a conversation with them. Like, we don't know what's in someone's head. Like, you know, so some people might be like, you might think that they're not supportive, but actually if you say it to them, so long as it doesn't bother them, they're like, go do you, do what you need to do. If you think that actually they just wouldn't be supportive and it's not worth the negativity to say it to them, you can just start focusing on your own education. Like as I said earlier, like use Google, like whatever it is that you want to do. If you want to learn how to bake something because you're passionate about baking or whatever, you can start like you watching YouTubers that are doing what it is that you want to do. Start reading books and stuff like that. And your partner doesn't necessarily have to know that you're doing that. You're not doing anything wrong by doing that. And for some people, like, you know, they won't believe you. So like let's just say, for instance, right? So let's just say you are someone who has never been really consistent. You're known for not being consistent. Maybe you're always late when you're going somewhere, and you know, you're kind of the main event at a party. You're the one up on the tables dancing and getting drunk and stuff like that. You know, whatever people's view of you are, that's what they're going to think. If you start turning around and say, hey, I'm going to be a millionaire and I'm going to start this big business and I'm going to do all this sort of stuff, they're not necessarily going to believe you straight off the bat, right? Not saying they're not, they could, but they might not, right? So what you want to do is maybe show them results. So, you know, start educating yourself, start looking into different things, start trying things out, start making little steps that are, you know, small but little, and, you know, getting different results for yourself, like learning stuff about yourself, educating yourself. People will start to see the change in how you're showing up. So they're going to be like, oh, okay, like maybe you're not going to as many parties as you used to, or maybe you're not. Maybe you're being a bit more punctual, or you're looking different, or you're acting different, or you're being different. They're going to start seeing a different side to you, and then they'll start taking you more seriously. So it's little things like that. It's just like really, really small things that you can do that don't cost anything, don't have to like cost a big part of your life or energy. You can do on top of your job. Like, don't go quitting your job straight away or anything. Like, you know, just take the little steps. Like, the number one best thing you can do is educating yourself on whatever that is. Like, YouTube is such a great platform for that. You've got Audible, where you can get all these amazing books, like on audio. There's so many books. Just go to a library, ask them to order in a book for you. Like, you know, you can do literally anything. You could be driving to work on a commute and just have like an audio book playing in the car while you're driving. Like, there's so much that you can do just to like elevate your mindset and your education and your skills without it costing anything massive to your life. So that's what I would recommend to do.
Speaking of books, this is not a, you know, I'm not going to just pardon the pun. We have a book that's coming out, your second book, I do believe. The first one was an award-winning book, and we didn't plan this. It just kind of rolled through the conversation. So nicely into your next book, which you're going to be, when's it going to be on the shelves is a big question.
So the book that I'm writing at the moment, it's almost complete. It's going to be 10 chapters. I've 7 chapters complete. So I've only got a couple more to do, which I'm going to focus on actually over the next 3 weeks and just get it complete. So my goal is to have it out later this year. And I'm really excited. So the book, I'm so excited. The book is called The Game of Confidence, The Beginner's Guide to Believing in Yourself. And it's 10 chapters, but actually the book is written in a really fun, easygoing, simple way. And it's actually designed as if it's a game. So each chapter is a level. So you go into level 1, and then you're going into level 2, level 3. And each level has like different skills that you have to learn and different obstacles to overcome. And, you know, it's just amazing. So by the end of the 10 levels, you know, you've got so much that you've worked through, so many different tools, so many different you know, insights that you've had throughout the 10 levels. It's going to be so fun. I'm so excited. So that's going to be coming out later this year. The first book was actually, it's a best-selling book called Monetize Your Message, and that was actually a book collaboration with 20 other female entrepreneurs. So it was more about and maybe it's interesting for people that are listening to this. It's about how to monetize your message. So whatever it is that you want to do, how to be successful from that. And the 21 entrepreneurs that wrote that book all are in completely different fields and stuff, and that's a bestseller. You can get that on Amazon now. But my book is going to be absolutely epic. I'm so excited. Like, I love writing it. I have so much joy just even writing it. Like, it's just amazing.
Yeah, well, we will look forward to it as well, because it's not every week you have an award-winning author on your podcast, but anyway, who's writing your second book, and we will look forward to it, and you'll let us know whenever it's coming out. When is it coming out in the next?
Well, I'm aiming for September. I'm aiming for September. But what I'm actually thinking, and I've had this thought for a long time, for when I am launching it, because I'm so excited. Like, I see this book as everything that I know is going to be in this book, and it's really just a gift to send out. Like, even if no one ever read it, it's still such a gift, because I know that my family will read it, you know, so it's going to give so much good information. But what I was actually thinking of doing is, when I am launching, is collaborating with some form of charity or multiple charities or organizations, and, you know, whatever is made off the launch of the book, actually doubling that, just as a second way of saying thank you to everyone who bought the book. And then also just, you know, thank you, like, abundance. This is the thing about abundance: the more you give, the more you get. So, you know, we talk about the law of attraction and all that, and all this sort of stuff, and The Secret, but, you know, it's really about, you know, give. Robert Kiyosaki always talks about, like, there should be, like, three areas that you're putting money into. The first is investing, so having an investment fund. The one is, like, a saving fund, so you're putting money away. That's not for saving for cash, but actually as, like, an emergency fund. And as I said, we do that in commodities. And then the third is in donations or charity or tithing, so giving money back. And, like, the more you can give out, the more you're going to get back. So I'm not doing it specifically for that reason, but, like, charity and giving back is always, everything that we do as a gift to the world, you know what I mean? So, like, I just think it's so important to do that. So I'm so excited. The book is a gift, and the launch is going to be a gift. It's all going amazing. So I'm aiming for September, to answer your question. Let's see.
September. So the pressure is on now to get the rest of the chapters done.
And yeah.
We'll check in. Every week we'll do a Zoom call to ensure that you're... I'm only joking. It's been a fantastic hour's chat. Half hour, well, we're 45 minutes or so into the conversation. We've covered a huge amount. And it is a bank holiday Sunday. We did say that at the start of the interview, so I don't want to take up too much of your time. But before I let you go, just three things I ask all my interviewees, three things that would advise anyone who's looking to get into business, you know, or even go out on their own, as we call it here in Ireland. What is the three things you would recommend, first of all, to do before you do anything else?
The first thing I would recommend is learning to connect into yourself and finding out what it is that you want, not what you think other people want you to think, which is difficult because, you know, that's what we're programmed as children, right? So it's really about, like, question what you've been taught, question your beliefs, question, like, you know, the beliefs of the country you were brought up in, the beliefs of the household you were brought in up on. Like, really think about sitting on the edge of the coin and having one leg on either side. Like, you know, seek to understand other points of views. And by doing that, you'll get a greater idea of what your point of view is. So that's number one, is just to really learn about yourself. Number two is education, whatever way that looks like for you, like whether it's getting a coach, which is absolutely, like, everyone should have a coach, and make sure you have a coach that has a coach. So having a coach, and not just someone that gives out free advice, like someone that you actually invest in. You don't want someone's spare time advice. You want someone who's actually invested in you, and they'll invest in you by you investing in them. So having a coach, but also, you know, reading books, listening to audios, watching videos, attending seminars. There's so many different ways you can get information. As I started out in a network marketing company. I just think they're absolutely amazing for the education, the training, the community aspect of it, you know, being able to face your fears and stuff, even if you don't make any money from it. It's not about that. Like, start thinking about the long game, like, what can you learn from it? If you don't want to do network marketing, that's absolutely fine. Start looking into the different asset classes that we spoke about, the four different asset classes, like which one actually interests you. As I said, Robert Kiyosaki says, invest in what you love, don't do what you love. So find out what you're really interested in. Business really interests me. It doesn't interest everyone. It really interests me. Real estate really interests me. Like, I'm so excited to get into real estate. We've been studying it for years. I'm absolutely, like, so excited to get into real estate. Paper assets doesn't, that's not for me. But for some people, they love forex, they love trading, they love all that sort of stuff. So find out what it is that you love and get really educated. The more educated you are about it, the lower the risk, right? Investing is not risky if you're educated. So educate yourself. And then the third thing is just, like, become really, really clear on, you know, your financial situation, your relationship with money, if that is what you want to do. Obviously, this is a business podcast, but, you know, start getting really, really aware of, like, what are your beliefs around money? Like, what, you know, were you brought up in? Like, what's your bank balance like? Are you getting wealthier each month or not? Like, do you have bad debt? Like, how can you eradicate your bad debt? How can you start creating good debt? What is good debt? Good debt is debt that brings you in money. And there's so many books on all of these as well that you can read. Like, Robert Kiyosaki has numerous books. So if you want to look into debt, if that's something that you're interested in, he has a great book called Retire Young, Retire Rich, and that's all about leverage. So just start looking at, like, what is your financial situation like? Do you have, like, a monthly budget? Do you, you know, have money being put aside for savings, investing, and for tidying as well? Like, what are you giving out financially to other people? Like, are you paying yourself first, or are you paying yourself last? Like, what are you spending your money on? And just becoming really clear on, like, what it is that you want, because anything is possible. Like, if you have, like, a really good budget, like, literally anything is possible. And that's something that we do every single month, is we have a budget. Like, we budget months in advance, but we still do it every single month as well. And it's just, you know, it's just made us wealthier and wealthier and wealthier every single month. So yeah, question your beliefs, learn everything about yourself and where it is that you really want to go, educate yourself, and then get really focused on your financial situation.
Some very, very good tips there, Brona, so thanks for that. Before I let you go, you spoke about one big goal that you're nearly accomplished. It's nearly your book that's coming out. But what else is Brona planning? What's your goals?
Yeah, my goals is to travel the world, really. So that's, like, one of the really big things for me at the moment, and Carla as well. Like, I want to go everywhere. I think maybe Carla is a little bit more conservative than I am. Like, I want to go to Antarctica. I want to go to North Korea. I want to go everywhere. Like, I don't care. So, you know, that's one of the big things for me. However, what I don't want to do is what a lot of people do, is I don't want to save up a lot of cash, go off, travel the world, come back, have absolutely nothing, and be completely broke and back living in my parents' house. That's not what I want to do. What I want to do is, you know, create multiple streams of passive income that allows me, so that's my purpose. And I'm doing that by living my purpose, by helping people and serving people. So I'm creating multiple streams of passive income through serving, and then being able to live my passion, which is traveling the world and just having fun and ease and joy. And that's my real massive goal, is to know that, you know, life is grace, and I'm helping people, and, you know, I'm contributing to the world, and I'm also absolutely loving my life, because we don't know how long we're here for, especially in the current situation globally with the virus, and then also everything that's happening over in America and everywhere else in the world. Life is short, and life can change like that. And even in the last few days with all the riots and stuff in America, like this time last week, you know, the worst thing we had to think about was not shaking someone's hand. And now it's like everything is getting, like, put on fire and stuff. Like, we don't know what's going to happen. So, you know, for me, it's just about creating a lot of passive residual income through serving people and going off and traveling the world and enjoying my life and just having a great time. That's me.
That's not a bad plan. I need to look into those goals myself. But Brona, where can people get in contact with you as well?
Yeah, the best way to get in contact with me is through social media. So Facebook, I've got like two free communities on Facebook actually that you can join. So if you're into more inner leadership, self-development stuff, there's a Facebook group called Empaths, E-M-P-A-T-H-S. Empaths, Connect, Protect, Inspire, completely free community with lots of free coaching and training. We have free speakers or guest speakers there every week as well. So we have that one's more about inner leadership. And then we also have the more money mindset wealth creation one, which is called Robert Kiyosaki Cash Flow Club in Ireland. So if you just put in Robert Kiyosaki Ireland Cash Flow Club, it'll come up. I know, Pork, you're a member of that as well. So if you want to join those groups, if not, you're going to find me, just type my name in general in Google and you'll find me.
Brona Lyons, it's been fantastic. Sorry for taking up your bank holiday Sunday, but thanks for talking here on the Breadwinners Podcast.
It's been amazing. Thank you, Pora.
That's all from today's Breadwinners Business Podcast. Many thanks for all the downloads during the week. And don't forget, we have 10 hours of free business mentoring for any of our listeners available with Joe Doyle. Just pop over to our Facebook page and message me your email address. I hope today's podcast was useful. Please tag me over on our Facebook page. But from myself, Pori Kilfordy, and all the team here at the Breadwinners Podcast, we'll talk to you next week. This business podcast is brought to you by Gap Property Investments, making your money work harder for you.